Hello, creative people. Welcome to Creative Conversations Live. My name is Hollis Citron, and I am so happy that you are here. While people are going to be jumping on, I am going to be inviting our guest, and then I will go through my whole spiel. Okay, so again, welcome. And the beauty of doing this live is for the audience, you, to be able to participate. And please feel free to type in questions and comments. And if we do not respond immediately, we will get to you, I promise. And obviously, if you're listening to the podcast as a replay, then please like, comment, ask questions, and we will still respond to you in that format as well. So this is a space that works like, this is how it's going to work, basically. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about our guest, and which is Miss Atima Addy, and I'm going to give a quick intro, and then she is going to introduce herself once she joins on. And the way these work is it revolves around three questions that all are about creativity. One, how do you define creativity? Two, how do you incorporate it into your life? And three, why do you think it's important? So then the conversation just kind of ebbs and flows from there, and we kind of see where it goes. So that is how this works. And I am going to just wait a minute to see if my guest, I'm going to give an intro on her, but I just want to make sure that she got everything, and waiting for some people to jump on. The beauty of doing this live, there she is. The beauty of doing this live is sometimes there's some glitches going on, but now we're good. So let me give a quick intro on my guest, and then she's going to talk about herself, and then we're going to dive into the questions. So my guest today is Atima Addy, and she is a powerhouse. She's an executive director and founder of Uplift, which stands for United People's Learning Initiative for Tomorrow, which is a nonprofit organization that serves Liberian and American youth by providing educational resources and service resources and services for communities in need. She's also a teacher. She's a mother. She's a wife. She's a student. She's much more than all of that, but she has her hands full, and she is one of the calmest people that I've seen with all of this going on. So she is in the house right now. So Miss Atima, welcome.
Thank you. Hello.
Hi. I'm so glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here.
So
how are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Doing really well.
Great.
So I just gave my spiel on you. So if you could take a minute or two to tell more about yourself, and then we'll dive into the questions.
Yeah. So my name is Atima Addy. I am, I'm Liberian American. I'm from Philadelphia. I was born and raised in Philadelphia. And, I since we're talking about creativity, I went to a high school for architecture and design. So there was when I started to actually become creative and to think more freely. So, and I'm the a founder and director of Uplift, United People's Learning Initiative for Tomorrow. And we provide learning resources and services for children in Philadelphia and children in Liberia. And yeah.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit more about how that works. How does that work with your nonprofit?
So what we do is in Philadelphia, we have a daycare and preschool. And that was the second piece, really the initial idea came in Liberia. When I was in college, I went to Smith College, and a friend and I went to Liberia and we established Uplift. And we went around to different places and we noticed that the schools in Liberia, they have children who are willing to learn and they come ready. However, the schools don't have many resources. They don't have a lot of books. They don't have computers. They don't have iPads or all the things that we take for granted. They didn't really have much of at all. So I saw the need actually when I first visited my parents' birthplace. I saw the need and I returned with a friend to establish Uplift. We've set up about 8 reading rooms in schools that are there. So those reading rooms provide books from a wide range of books, some textbooks, some books that students read recreationally. There are teacher training books, just a whole bunch of different things. And our ultimate goal for the communities that we're working in is to build a resource center. And to bring us closer to that goal, we started Uplift Academy here in Philadelphia. And Uplift Academy is a social enterprise for the overall organization. So the funds that we raise by empowering and teaching young people here in America, we can then use those to do the same in Liberia.
Okay. So is Uplift Academy different than your daycare or is that the same?
Yeah. Uplift Academy is the daycare and preschool.
Okay. It's the daycare and preschool. Okay. Gotcha. So you may have said it and I may have missed it, but did you live in Liberia at all?
No, I was born in Philly and lived in, Texas for a bit and I visited Liberia, but I never lived there.
So yeah, this is just an amazing, so what's the time span before we dive into the questions, what's the time span that it took for you to raise the money and set up those resource rooms that you have going on now? Or the reading
rooms? Well, the reading rooms, it took about, okay. So when I first got back from Liberia in 2014, like January of 2014, I was like, I hit the ground running. Basically I, raised money on campus. A lot of people donated books. We had a lot of fundraisers. So within a few months, we were able to collect all the books that we then shipped to Liberia to set up the reading rooms. But as far as like, it's a lot more than just collecting books. It's the storage fee, it's the fee to actually ship them to Liberia. Once they get there, they have to be freed at the port, and that's another fee. So, so there are just a lot of things that went into it. So, it ended up being that I, because I was just, and I am just so passionate about it, a lot of my own personal funds went into doing it. But it took probably about, for the entire process to happen, about 7 months.
Wow, that's not that much time.
I guess I would have liked for it to be faster, but we just started, so it made sense.
Wow. Okay. Well, that is creativity in itself. That's like so much problem solving and like making decisions and like seeing it in your head and then making it come to life. Like you sculpted it into being. So that's where I always say it goes beyond just drawing and painting. Like creativity is in everything that we do. It's everything that we do.
Yeah, so I agree.
Yeah. So, okay. So let's dive into the first question, which is how do you define creativity?
So if I go back to what you just said about how creativity is in everything that we do, my definition of creativity is whatever bit of yourself that you put into something that you're doing and you transform that thing into something else. because you've put some of yourself into it. So to me, creativity is it cannot be defined in one way, really, or whatever textbook definition there may be for creativity. It may not necessarily fit the reality that we see now when it comes to creativity. So, I see creativity everywhere I go, really.
Yeah, I so agree. It's just, it does. It exists in everything. And I was listening to something today, which I found just like, it was just incredible, where they were saying that so much about creativity that kind of shuts people down is because there's so much that's related to shame, where somebody said something at some point about whatever it is, whatever their passion or interest is, whether it was, you know, doing math or science or drawing or whatever it is, somebody at one point said something that in a negative way, and then they shut down. And they weren't able to, they just lost interest or had that thought process around it in a negative way. So they weren't able to really put out that, like where you said, whatever bit of yourself that you put into and what you're doing. But if you don't feel like you're being authentic and being you, then it's not true.
I totally agree. I feel like for me, my creative process when it comes to anything, really, I like to keep to myself because I'm not really sure how someone else will take it. And if they don't see the entire image, like if they're just seeing a piece of the painting, or they're just seeing a piece of the sculpture, or just hearing a bit of my idea, they may not know how it all will come together. Mm-hmm. So I prefer at times to just leave it to myself. And then once I actually have something that I can present, then I present it. Because to me, a lot of the time, people can... not all people, and I wouldn't say most people either, but I'll say majority of the time, people see two-dimensionally. And when you're trying to explain something to them that you're like, this, like, I think this will be awesome. And if I do this like that, and I put this on top of that, and they're like, what? Like, I've never heard that before.
I so understand that.
I mean, you have to like, you have to think outside of the box, and you have to just go with it. Like, because I know you, I know that you're doing that right now, you know, like you were like, you know what? I'm tired of this mold. I'm going to break out of the mold, and I'm just going to do it. Like, I'm just going to be my own self and be my own creative self. And I'm going to be authentic 100% of the time, and I'm going to be happy with it. So you also inspired me to take the leap when I did. When you did as well.
Thank you for saying that. That's really sweet.
Of course. Like, I was talking to my husband today about how you inspired me. Like, just alone with like seeing something that you want and talking about it in a way that you would think you already have it, or that you already have the plan and the means and everything to get it. That's how you speak of it. So
I appreciate
that. I
want
to have that same energy, you know?
Well, you obviously started that because, you know, back in 2014, you were doing this. You went back to Liberia, you got inspired, and you accomplished something in 7 months, which for all of what you did is not a long period of time. So it's that whole idea of believing it and truly believing it, in order for it to then be what it is. Because just like you said, you know, you see it, you have the visualization in your head, like you can play it out and like in like a movie format, or you see the, in your head, the three-dimensional version of it. But then there's all that other stuff that can get in the way of, well, can I really do that? Or is that really smart? Or what are other people going to think? But it's, I like what you said, which I kind of wanted to ask you about, when you said you keep it to yourself. It sounds like it's not coming from a place of worthiness. It's not coming from a place of worrying what other people are thinking. it's more for you to kind of get it together.
Yeah.
To then make it clear, right?
Yeah. Like for me, okay, so I just had a thought yesterday night. And yeah. I was like doing something, and then like, do you know, it's like a show that I used to watch when I was younger, maybe. Maybe you would know it. It's called That's So Raven.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I had a That's So Raven moment, and I I like froze and like looked into the future for a moment. And I was like I'm so serious. I was like visualizing all of this stuff that I want to do. And then my son was like, "Mommy,
where did you go? Where'd you go, Mom?"
I was like, "I don't know. It's okay, I'm here." I was just visualizing something really quickly. Yeah. Like, I really think that it's important to have those moments. Like, yes. When you just are alone with your thoughts and you're like, okay, like, I'm going to just visualize this. And then what makes it even better is to write it down. Like, once you visualize it, write it down, post it somewhere and look at it, and then make it like airtight, and then present it to people. You know, when you feel like this is airtight, like I can present this now. And then if you have really good people in your corner, they will criticize it. They'll be like, well, what about this? What about that? And that only makes you better, you know? Like if you have someone who's like, oh yeah, that's perfect, go for it. That's great too. But if you have someone who's like, well, you know, what about this? What about that? You didn't think about this.
Right.
Then now you have someone who can, you know, iron sharpens iron, you know?
So. But you know what? That's a very higher level thinking, because there are people that would be like, well, there are people that would shut down with people asking the questions, and not so much, the word isn't challenging, but, you know, saying, well, how about this and how about that? And did you consider, because people could get defensive and be like, criticizing me, and now you're saying it's not going to work. Like it could go either way. So. Yeah. What you're saying too is, there are two things I wanted to address. First, when you said visualize, write it down, but that when you were talking about that visualization, it felt like this visceral feeling, like you just get it throughout. It's like when you get the tingly feeling and the butterflies in your stomach, and you're like, oh my God, like, this is so exciting. And then you come back, and then that's when, you know, your kids are like, Mom, are you there? You're like, yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
I'm here. I'm back and better than ever.
I'm like, you got my attention.
Yeah.
But then that other part of it takes control. Like, I see it as taking a sense of control in order to keep that idea to yourself. Because admittedly, at times I'm like, I have the idea and it's like throw up. I'm just like, I have to tell somebody. Like, who can I tell? I can't keep it in. Yeah. And then I've kind of learned that I need to like step back and, like you're saying, like let it brew and let it form, and because it's going to change.
Yeah.
And I don't have to like spew it out immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like I'm of a time where we grew up on social media. We grew up in a time where whenever you have something like, on your mind, for instance, Facebook, at the top of Facebook is like, what did it say? What's on your mind? Or I don't know, like before you make a post on Facebook,
it's
like,
yeah,
what
yeah.
do you think? I don't know, something like that.
Yeah.
So when I was younger, when I look back on my Facebook posts, it's like, it's like, just came out the car. It's really sunny. Or it's like, oh, hate this one professor. Gosh, like, what's the point? Like, actual point, and then I had like one, like, you know, so it's like, honestly, after a while, I just like learned it's better. Some things are just better left unsaid. And then once you, you know, cook it all the way up, you're like, bam, there you go. You
know,
let me share it with you now. And let me get your input, and let me, you know, just let's enjoy it together. So, and then also it helps you too, like as the creative, because I feel like people who are creative, you like to collaborate with others, yes, but because you're creative, you want to do something on your own. Like you want that, you know, the feeling of, you know, I saw this in my mind.
I
put it on paper in words, and now I'm visualizing it in real life. Like, and I think that for creative people, which anyone could be a creative person, but someone who self-identifies as being creative, or someone who actually goes down that path, they need to see themselves. They need to see for their self, like, this is what I did, you know, and there it is, before it gets muddled by other people's thoughts or opinions, or before you throw out there and it's just like not so great. But that's my thought.
Yeah, yeah. No, I love it. It's like really kind of letting it brew and letting it change and letting it grow. And then it's like having a baby, that it's like, okay, I'm ready to birth you.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to share you. And it's going to change and take something on into itself. But yeah. Yeah, I just had a vision of, I created a clay piece. I had a chance at this residency years and years ago, back in the 90s, I had a storefront window that I could fill, and I did these three-dimensional tiles, and I visualized these tiles. There was probably like over 100 tiles, and they were all in different shapes with odd and even. I broke it down to like a Morse code, and the even numbers had one color, the odd numbers had another color, and they were strung together, and there was movement. There was like all of these pieces to it. And just as you were talking, I was just thinking, as I was kind of, as a creative, seeing these pieces, just like we all do in our creative ways, I saw the pieces and how they'd go together. And then all of a sudden, it all came together in the end. And I was like, wow.
Yeah,
there
that's
is
my mind on a piece of that's my mind in the sculpture.
Yes.
Yeah, just a piece of it though, not the whole thing, but you know, and
that's yeah,
to say there it is,
we totally shaped it. So so before we move on to the second question, Erica, if you would she is on, if you would like to join in any way, please, because she is, Erica is an amazing spoken word artist and poet, amongst all of her other talents, but I didn't know if she wanted to add to anything.
Hi, Erica.
So, okay, so let's dive into the second question, which is, how do you incorporate creativity into your own life?
Oh, wow. Right now, I'm just like, I'm redoing my house. Not like a lot of, not like construction, I can't do that, but like just redecorating it. And just that alone, just walking downstairs and feeling like, yeah, this is me. Like, this is how I would want to be represented, I guess. And I guess that has been my, the most fun outpour of my creativity right now. And then I guess other ways would be, as far as work is concerned, like with the preschool and daycare, I'm thinking of a whole bunch of
all that you're doing with that. Tell about that, because that's like a crazy amount of stuff.
I'm thinking about ways that we can get kids to like learn, and not just to learn facts, but to be lifelong learners, like to be people who see something, who see one thing, and then they like a prism of things come out of it, you know, like, so by pondering on that, I decided to like kind of shift the whole daycare after this, coronavirus time. And I had so much time to think about how I want the kids to learn, and watching so many videos, we're going to kind of shift completely, not necessarily completely, because we're not like to the T, but to a Montessori model, because I feel Montessori, because I also went to a Montessori school myself when I was younger. And and I feel Montessori really teaches kids in a way that a lot of other models forget. So it's not just about facts and all this stuff. It's about making kids love nature and exploring and making them little scientists and, you know, and just independent people. So so I guess that's one way in my mind how I saw it for the daycare will be like a blend of different styles, one being Montessori, another being Waldorf, which I love, and technology as well, because we're in the age of technology, and if we deprive them of those things, you know, I feel as though it's not fair, you know, it's low technology. So yeah, so we're taking this time. I'm also taking this time to like reflect on the way that we have been teaching the kids and what are the good things in that and what can we improve upon. And and one way I think we can improve is to just clean up the Montessori side of it and really train my staff on how to present these things to the kids, because I really want for them to get the most out of it.
Yeah. How would you, for the people that aren't familiar with Montessori, like in a shortened version, how would you, you know, explain what that model looks like?
So the Montessori model is, it comes with the viewpoint that a child, no matter the age really, can be independent and can learn complex things. The main part of it though is the independence. And for instance, just like a snapshot, an image of what that looks like for a child. It looks like, you know, a lot of things at their eye level, whatever it is that you want for them to do or to learn, or it's all right there at their eye level, and they can choose for themselves what they would like to do. And that choice right there also allows for them to do it well, because it's like, it's your choice to do it, and I'm going to show you how to do it so that when you do it, you'll do it well, and then you'll clean up after yourself and you'll put it back on the shelf in a nice way so that the next person can come and they can use it as well. And and this model is very gentle. It teaches the kids how to be considerate of others, and it teaches them how to be considerate of the materials they're using, of the space, of other life in the room. And I think that especially for what we're seeing now, it's so important that we teach our children to be compassionate and to be, you know, thoughtful and to be, to cherish the things that are around them, whether they be objects or people, how to cherish these things and how to really be at one with them, not to be like in a battle with the people around you for the things that are around you. Or to be in a battle with the things that are around you, just kind of go with the flow. And to me, I feel it is really important that the children that we are working with in the inner city of Philadelphia, that they get those kinds of lessons. And I'm also applying for a grant to bring it to their homes as well, because it's, you know, because we're both teachers, that if you do something in school and it's not reinforced at home, it kind of goes out the window, you know. Sometimes it comes back when they come in through the door, but we want for them to have it for life. Like, it's not just like that's nothing I like about these models. It's not like we're just teaching them 1 + 1 = 2. Like, it's not that. We're teaching you how to get that result, you know.
Right.
And if you know how to, you can apply that same method to whatever you're doing. You know, it doesn't even have to be math necessarily, just whatever you're doing in life. So teaching you the how, not necessarily the what, but the what still comes, obviously. But yeah, I think it's so important for our kids in the inner city, and for our kids in West Africa or wherever they may be, kids all around the world, it's so important for them to to know how, you know?
Yeah.
And to know why.
Yeah.
So even if we can, in our little pockets of the world, just, mm-hmm. you know, touch those children who are there with you, that's very important to me.
It's huge because you never know who you're affecting and how you're affecting. I mean, we both have a gazillion stories on, you know, the effects that you can have without knowing. And a lot of times it comes from the people that you least expect it to come from. Mm-hmm. You're like, really? I mean, I've had people come back to me that I taught like years ago, and they've told me certain things that were positive, and I'm like, you were a terror. Like, you were just like,
they're like, but you were always consistent with me.
Like, you made my life miserable.
Yeah.
And they said, and this one person specifically said, I know you never would have known, but you're my favorite teacher. I'm like, you are so right. I never would have known that.
You know, kids are so funny. Kids are so interesting. Like, my first year of teaching, I had this one kid who, she would walk in the room. This was ninth grade. She'd walk in the room and she'd give me the most attitude, like, whatever. And I was like, okay, calm down. Like, and the way I dealt with her, she just totally changed completely. And she was like, what'd she say? She said, oh, I always do that to my teachers in the first week or two. I was like, oh, okay.
You pass the test or you don't pass the test.
Yeah. I would either continue that way or I would change. I mean, kids are so interesting. It's so weird.
It's that whole, like, having to build up that trust level. It's like, did we really have to jump through all those oops to get through that? Really? But I love what you were saying about independence and eye level and showing the how and considerate. There's so many, I mean, that's a whole other conversation on, you know, the school system and how it's so robotic and memorize this. And you're not teaching to not that you can't, as a classroom teacher, it's hard to teach to every individual separately. I mean, it's a difficult thing, but when you can provide that atmosphere of choice where it's a choice somewhat, you know, there's structure within it where they can feel like, because I have found that when you offer too much choice, then it can be overwhelming for those people that don't know, they don't know how to approach it. But mm-hmm. if you create enough structure mm-hmm. for them to be able to make their own choices where they feel like they have some control in the matter or say in the matter, then they're more willing to open up and try things.
Mm-hmm. Like when we first, started the daycare and we're like, okay, so, you know, I explained to my staff, like, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to use this model. We're going to try this, that, and the third. And I think because they didn't fully understand mm-hmm. What we were doing or what we were trying to achieve or how the end result would look.
Right.
What ended up happening is we just, certain people just gave so much, too much choice. And really what the model should look like is when you present the lesson to the child, everything they need should be right there. Mm-hmm. Like, so mm-hmm. that they're not looking for anything. If they have to pour from one cup to the next, both cups should be there. The water should be there. A sponge mm-hmm. should be there. It should all be on a tray. They should just take the tray, go back to their workstation. It should be like you're leaving out the error and you're giving them all the tools that they need to be successful. So mm-hmm. it's like you have the choice, you're mm-hmm. given the choice, but everything you need is right there. So if you know how to do it, then now you can be successful. And then when you mess up, it's fine because you know how to fix it.
So because what you're doing is you're like taking away the frustration.
Yeah.
You're kind of like fixing, you're solving that. And you're allowing them, a lot of what I'm hearing of what you're saying is a lot about exploration.
Yeah.
And from what you were saying, like with the staff, like it being hard to see because it can sound like such an organic process and so abstract in a sense.
Yeah.
that it's hard for people to see it, and then people can kind of take their own paths on it, and then it becomes really disjointed sometimes. Yeah. But having that end goal of where you know it can become like abstract at certain points, but it, when it's coming back to an end, you know, you have to know what your end is.
Yeah, exactly. With anything. So yeah, that kind of goes full circle again. Yeah, with this, but with anything, you have to like work with the end in mind. You have to keep that goal in your head. Yeah.
There was this great organization I worked with in New York called Studio Owner School, and they had this amazing program set up where artists went into schools and served different lengths of residencies, and you worked with however many times a week you went in. You worked with the teachers, you worked with the kids, and you worked with the parents. And I would go into their classrooms and I would do staff developments, teaching the teachers how to be more process oriented. They had like a whole thing that they did. But then I got to work with the kids in like a center based approach. So we would rotate where there'd be like six people at a time when I was there. And the teacher had other things going on. So she would kind of get the hang of how to utilize it in her room when I wasn't there. And then we also did a parent component, which I loved, which they would provide bags of supplies and they would come in and do the workshop with me so they'd understand what we were teaching. And then they would go home with supplies.
Nice.
And it felt full circle because, like you were saying, mm-hmm, the parents were on board and getting what we were trying to do with them during the day.
Yeah.
Because if the kids, if we're talking about lines and the kids are just scribbling a bunch of lines, so they, the parents might be like, oh, great, that's nice.
Yeah. Because they don't know how it should look.
But if you know that what our project was investigating all different kinds of lines and then doing a crayon resist out of it with a watercolor, like then you would see where the exploration was involved.
Exactly.
You know? Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that's such an important piece, having the parents on board.
Yeah, it really is. Yep. And I feel the saying, it takes a village, is really true. Like, it takes just everyone who's involved in raising the child. The teacher is involved in raising the child. The whatever teachers may come from an external program, like what you were just describing. Mm-hmm. And the parents and the child too, you know, it takes everyone being hands-on in order for you to really reach that goal and to see what you'd like to see, what you envisioned. It takes everyone to put their hands on for children.
Because, you know, when you're in the classroom, anywhere that you teach, but, you know, Mrs. Team and I taught, you know, in the same school for a few years. And you know that everybody has a story, and how much time you take to, because you spend 6-7 hours a day with each other, you know, for five days a week, and all the emotions and all the things that you go through with your children in order to, for that goal of having them to be the best versions of themselves that they can be. Mm-hmm. It's a lot.
Yeah, it really is. And it's even more difficult if you can't work with the parents, mm-hmm, to make that possible. So I think it's very important to have everyone hands on.
Yeah. Yeah. It does take a village. I love that. So, okay, let's dive into the last question is, why do you think creativity is important?
Oh, wow. Creativity is important because we won't want to live in a world without it. Like, how boring would life be without creativity? Like, we won't, everything will be the same, you know? Mm-hmm. Everything will be the same. And, well, actually, would everything even be the same? Because it took that first person who made all this stuff the same to have been creative to, you know, to come up with this idea of, you know, for instance, like if this person is an architect and they're building a house, and the house has a dome on it, and
right.
then say like 100 years later, every single house you see has a dome on it, so
right.
it's like no longer creative.
Right.
But it took that person
right, 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 right,
to be creative. So, I mean, yeah, I don't even know if the world will even be without mm-hmm.
it. Yeah.
Like we are free thinking beings. So mm-hmm. like we're made to think outside the box. Mm-hmm. Like, and to not confine our minds to a mold. Like we have to. And if we are in spaces that do not allow for us to be creative, mm-hmm. I think regardless of who the person is, whether they, you know, identify with being creative or not, if you're in a space that doesn't allow for that, you're stopping some sort of growth
yeah.
in yourself, and probably like probably some part of your brain is shrinking too. Like I think like for people, you have to have some sort of creative outlet, whatever that may be. So a world without creativity, I don't know what that will look like.
Yeah. What you said was just like a really deep comment because so many people, I mean, it's not possible for a person not to be creative
yeah.
because creativity is the formation of an idea or an object, which we do all the time at every moment. I personally think, you know, it's just a matter of recognizing it and
yeah.
owning it and feeling good about it.
Yeah.
And like you said, like if people, when you're in your workplace, wherever that may be, and you're not allowed to think outside the box, and when you see these movies where it's like you're not allowed to show emotion, like they're always in the future where mm. whatever this movie is that I can't think of, it was in black and white, and everybody, they're assigned to a certain job. You don't get a choice. Mm. They pick for
like
you.
Like The Giver.
That's it. Yes, The Giver. Mm. Like that whole, I mean, creativity is like taken away. Emotion yeah. is taken away. Because what they found in that all was, if I'm correct, is that it when people felt too much, it hurt. Mm. It caused pain. And they felt like they didn't want people to experience that. They thought they were saving people.
Yeah. That's a natural feeling right there. You know, I think that that in society now we sort of still have that, you know, like that sort of idea where if you think too much about something or if you know too much about something, then you'll feel this pain, you know, you'll feel uncomfortable. But that uncomfortable feeling mm-hmm. will lead you to being creative
mm-hmm.
to figure out another solution.
Yes.
How else can this work?
Right.
Can we all be
right.
happy? You know,
right.
so
right.
I feel that it's in our nature. Like any human being can be creative. Like whether you have the world at your disposal, you can be creative. If you do not have a dime to your name, but you see a tree over there and some mud over here and you mm-hmm. somebody dropped a hanger over there. Like I've seen some people create some crazy things. I'm like, where'd you learn that from?
Mm-hmm.
Like now, you know, like this one kid who is in some, I think a village in some part of Africa. I'm unsure. It was on Netflix. Mm-hmm. But he created a windmill mm-hmm. and he's like, now we can do, you know, now life is so much easier because during these seasons we weren't able to farm and now we are able to because of that. And like,
right.
they had nothing. And it's because of his creativity and him thinking outside the box. He saw the problem
mm.
and he created a solution because mm-hmm. we're already built with everything that we need to mm-hmm. be successful. We're already built with it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are.
We just have to acknowledge that we are, and we just have to not be afraid to do it. You know, mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of the time in society in general, especially when you live in a society, like if you're not someone living on top of a mountain somewhere, like
mm-hmm.
if you live within a society, you you sometimes feel like like you have to conform, like you have to mm-hmm. fit in to the society. Mm-hmm. And of course, no, you shouldn't be like an outlier all the way down there and everyone's over here. Mm-hmm. However, there's nothing wrong with being creative and finding creative solutions to whatever problems arise themselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of having creative outlets and,
I mean, I'm hearing so many things. So one, again, I'm referencing movies again, in the movie, kids movie Robots, mm-hmm. I always think of like see a need, fill a need. Yeah. Like I always think of whatever that character's name was, him saying that's why he would create what he needed to create. You know, you see a need, you feel a need. That's why you're creating what you're creating.
Yeah.
Get comfortable with the uncomfortable, because that is where growth comes from, is when you're feeling that discomfort, when you're feeling angry, when you're feeling whatever you're feeling, it doesn't feel good. Mm-hmm. You can either stay in that and be a victim, or you can be like, you know what? I don't want to feel this way anymore. Yeah. And you can change it in whatever that looks like mm-hmm. in that.
Yeah. Like, you know, I think about, I feel like I think about the world now after having children through mm-hmm. their eyes. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure I do, but that's just my thought. Mm-hmm. So when I'm like thinking about my daughter, and how she's like chewing on everything right now. Like, it doesn't matter what it is. She's chewing on my my carpet. She's chewing on her dad's hand. Like, she's chewing on everything because her gums are uncomfortable.
She's teething,
yeah. And she's like, and there's no way for teeth to come through if she doesn't go through that pain and that discomfort, you know? It's like things, if she were comfortable just chilling, she wouldn't have any teeth. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's no matter what stage you are in life, we have parallels. Like, we have ways to feel empathy for someone else, because we all know the feeling. We may not know what it feels like to teeth because we forgot, but we know the feeling of, you know, I feel uncomfortable right now, and if I stay in this discomfort, I will stay like this forever. But if I fight through it and gnaw on whatever I need to gnaw on, or claw or at whatever I need to, not in a terrible way, but, you know, not bring anyone else down. But you'd be able to really evolve and to become something more than what you are. It's like, if you're not comfortable with where you are, then go ahead, be more creative, come up with something, you know, like do something that will bring you joy, you know?
Again, it kind of comes back to like the whole victim thing. I had an uncle that would, he was so talented. For him, it happened to be visual arts, and he was so good, but he never owned it. He never saw himself as that. So then he was always in jobs, you know, that weren't his passion. And he was, you know, why would anybody want to buy my work? Why would anybody like it? So he just claimed that victim mentality instead of what you're talking about, which is evolving, which is where, you know, all the growth is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know so many people who I'm like, whoa, your mind is amazing. Like, if my mind could do that, I would be doing some cool stuff, you know? And, but they just didn't believe in themselves. They didn't feel like they could do it. And then it also brings me back to, well, how can we help those people who feel like they can't, who, when they look at an issue, when they look at something, they feel like they cannot. Like, for me, I don't remember when, wait, yeah, never mind. No, I
didn't. Change that.
No, I remember. Right now, I'm in a rut myself.
You're going to say, I can't remember when I was in a rut?
No, I'm going to say, I don't remember when I ever, so I couldn't do that. And I was like, wait a second, wait. Currently, I'm trying to lose some weight. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, it's just so hard. I just can't. But like, in reality, I can. I can do it. Mm-hmm. This woman who I was, because I always randomly talk about my weight to people, and I'm like, man, you know, mm-hmm. I just gained all this weight after having my kids, and you know, I love mm-hmm. them and all. I'm just kidding. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's like I do. I love them a whole bunch, and I would not change a.
But
any hair on their head for a single
There is no explanation needed. You know? It is such a woman thing. And
yeah, you know.
And Erica, so. Please chime in. But just because you being a woman and having, you know, your kids, yeah, I totally get it. You don't need to explain it. So yeah, continue.
Yeah, and exactly. But she said to me, she's like, you graduated college, right? I was like, yeah. She's like, you got two kids? I'm like, yeah. She's mm-hmm. like, you can do anything. I mean, mm-hmm. You have two kids. Like, you literally went through that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, yeah, you're right. I mean, that right there is the most changes that your body can make, mm-hmm. I feel, than mm-hmm. any human being. Mm-hmm. Like, just naturally, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Most changes that your body naturally can make is mm-hmm. during your body being the home of a child. Like mm-hmm. your body is now being creative, you mm-hmm. know, doing all kinds of stuff and really yeah. trying to create an environment that's nurturing for this child. So, I mean, when I ponder on just my body alone and how our bodies are able to do all these things, mm-hmm. I'm like, this is amazing. Like mm-hmm. life is just amazing. Mm-hmm. And it hurts me when I think about other people who mm-hmm. do not have those sort of experiences when they go through these same exact things, like whether it be, you know, whether it be anything. I mean, mm-hmm. school or in this case, like having a child or whatever case it be, or when your body is going through all these things that you cannot control mm-hmm. and. You know, we just kind of have to go with the flow of it and understand that, you know, this is life. Life is ever evolving, and we yeah. contribute to the change sometimes. We don't necessarily contribute to change at times, but it's just a matter of being comfortable with, for me, being comfortable with where I am right now, mm-hmm. and being and thinking and knowing that, okay, well, this is where I'd like to go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what I was going to say before I even got onto that was that I don't remember a time that I've ever felt that I couldn't do something, mm-hmm. but that's completely untrue, because when I was, I'm not going to, you know, say any specific jobs, but mm-hmm. When I was at a certain job that mm-hmm. I felt like, man, I didn't want to go, or I felt like I was dragging my feet or whatever the case would be. I wasn't 100% investing myself in it, because it just wasn't 100% invested in me in a mm-hmm. sense. Mm-hmm. So I have a hard time diving all the way in to something that's not reciprocating. Mm-hmm. And then I had to tell myself, like, you know, you can do it. Like, go out there, just do what you feel like you were made to do. Because I, for so long, was putting my own dreams and my own creative mm-hmm. Outlook and my everything, I was putting it into a box to the side. And I was like, let me focus on this mm-hmm. other thing that is not mm-hmm. doing anything to bring that box any closer to me, you know? Mm-hmm. And I had to just be like, you know what? I have to bet on me, and I have to, you know, get away from this, because my creative side is just dying. Mm-hmm. I feel as though if someone's in a situation, doesn't matter what kind of situation it is, or relationship, whatever kind of relationship it is, that mm-hmm. you feel like you cannot be yourself, like your authentic self or your creative mm-hmm. self. Like you don't have that out. That what's the word I'm looking for? The output, not output, but you don't have that. You can't you you don't have that. It's like this situation cannot coexist with your creativity. Then it doesn't need to be there.
No, it's not serving.
Yeah.
You're not being of service. You're not being, because I love how you said it. It's like that box. It's like so many times we feel like we have to compartmentalize our lives and say, okay, well, I'm doing this right now because it's making me the money, or it's doing this and I have to do this for my family and I have to do that. And we put what we really dream about and what really lights us up in a box.
Yeah.
And that box can sometimes go further and further away. And then we find that we have more energy drain. We're more tired.
Yeah.
We're angrier. We're really disconnected. We're fearful. It's like we're feeling all of these negative emotions because we're not allowing ourselves to be who we are and what we want and not be authentic. It was interesting because I heard my daughter actually said, we're sitting around, it's like those dinner conversations that happen. And the question came up, when did you first realize that your parents had emotions or were real? Mm. And she said, it first kind of dawned on her when I would come home from work and be really upset.
Oh, wow.
About how the kids were acting or just about whatever I was feeling. Yeah. That was kind of when it first dawned on her, which was so interesting to hear her say that in that way, because that was like so much of a time of me putting so much of my passion is, like you were saying, bringing it to people, wanting to like open people up because they feel like they can't.
Yeah.
But there was becoming a point of where it was feeling, where it was draining me.
Yeah.
Because I was caring too much. Kind of like wearing everything on my sleeve instead of reserving some and refueling myself.
Yeah.
So that was kind of on me where it was like, it wasn't balanced, basically.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like maintaining that balance, which, you know, sometimes it can be a challenge.
Yeah. Like, I don't know why I just thought about like Superman or whatever, Spider-Man and all these people. Mm-hmm. They go out and they help others, and but they still reserve a piece of themselves if you think about it, because they're masked. Like, they don't know who they are, you know? So they still can walk the streets and still be who they are, you know? So I feel like for anyone who is someone who your personality is just a giver, if that's your personality, there needs to be some of you that you reserve for yourself. Because if you give, and there's nothing left of you for you, then you have nothing left to give to others who are dependent on you now. You know? So, and another thing that kind of brings my mind to like the Montessori side of things is I prefer not to constantly have to give to someone. I want to like give you tools so you can do it for yourself, because I know for a fact after a while I'm not going to want to constantly give, you know? I would want to be selfish sometimes too. And I would want for you to be self-sufficient in the times where I am feeling selfish. So, you know, and that's how I'd like, you know, if I had like a world, if I ruled the world, I would like for everyone to be compassionate towards one another. So still have that, you know, be willing to give, but those people who are receiving should also be willing to give to someone else. And in order for them to give to someone else, they have to stand on their own two feet and, you know, realize that they're somebody too, and they have something to offer someone else. Mm-hmm. And if they have something to offer someone else, they also have something to offer to themselves.
Yeah. So it's that whole domino effect.
Yeah.
Which is a perfect point to end on, because we're at the top of the hour and I want to respect your time, and I know we could talk and talk and talk. but I just ending on the reminder that if you're a giver, you need to reserve because otherwise there's nothing left to teach compassion, to teach independence, because that's where people really grow from. They have to know how to do it in order to, otherwise they're just going to be dependent all their life and you're not teaching them what they real skills.
Exactly.
So Atima, thank you so much for your time. This was incredible.
Yeah. I just want to say, thank you for allowing me on your platform, one, and thank you for creating this creative platform, because now we have a space that we know is a safe space to just be our own creative selves, whatever that may be, whatever. And the fact that, and those three questions that you asked to me, I think are perfect, because no matter who you have on here, there is something that they can contribute. And it's literally our, what shares, what links us in humanity, you know, that we all have the ability to be creative. So thank you so much for creating this platform for us.
I so appreciate that. I really do, because that's where my passion is. And that's why I'm here.
Yeah.
this is my purpose. So I really appreciate that validation. And so thank you, and continue with what you're doing. You are giving such light to the world. And we will keep talking and collaborating in whatever ways we can.
Yes. Thank you so much.
So please follow, like, share, so we can keep inspiring, connecting, and sharing stories.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Have a great weekend.
All right. You do the same. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.